today we continue your pastor's regimen of Sundays in the Psalms after Pentecost. And, of course, we go to Psalms, the center of the Bible, which is a collection of songs from the heart describing the innermost thoughts of the Old Testament people. And these thoughts are relevant to us even today. They still speak to our hearts today. And that's why so many people refer to the Psalms, and that's why your pastor has led you into this nice section of them. Today we look at the on the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. We turn to the 78th Psalm, as I expect you noticed in the reading of our adoration Psalter. Now this is one long chapter. And so I'm not going to read it all to you again because you heard it there in that Psalter, but I've broken it down into four categories. In verses 1 through 8, God calls for his attention and warns them to heed his word. In verses 9 through 39, we read all about Israel's history, which I trust you know pretty well yourself. And then in verses 40 through 55, the psalmist recounts the Israelites settling in Canaan once they crossed the sea. And then in verses 56 through 72, we see God's mercies in contrast to the people's ingratitude. Because it's, like I said, so long, we're not going to read it all, but I would like to focus on some specific verses today and pray that some of these will speak to your heart. In verse 1, right off the bat, God speaks, "My people, listen to my teaching, pay attention to what I have to say." And I think that that pretty much sums up the whole thing. Right off the bat, it's very simple. The focus and the heartbreak of the 72 verses in this psalm really are attached to these two sentences. Again, "My people, listen to my teaching. Pay attention to what I say." So where do we find God's teaching? In the Bible. Thank you, Cliff. We find God's teaching in the Bible. And so I was just reading in your parish paragraphs, the little folder that Cindy gave to me in advance. And on page 3 of your parish paragraphs, it says, quote, "We are all encouraged to bring your personal Bibles, and we hope this will connect our worshipful reading of the scriptures when we gather together." Now, I'm not going to embarrass anybody today, but I wonder how many of you brought your Bibles. I wonder how many of you followed the instructions for this entire series of Psalms in Sunday in Psalms after Pentecost. You know, the pastor wants you to bring your Bibles when you gather together. And I guess I want to add that and say, I wonder how many of you read your Bibles. What I don't want to be and what I used to be is a convenient Christian. I went to church every Sunday, and occasionally I'd go on a Wednesday night, but I went to church every Sunday, and I occasionally I'd give some money, and I felt pretty good about myself. I'm a good Christian, you know. I'm a good Christian man. But through a series of events that many of you might remember if you've been here other times that I've been here and shared with you about my wife's brain surgery or dealing with my time at war or the drugs and alcohol and divorce and all the other garbage that I went through in my life before Psalms 40, I inclined to the Lord and he heard my cry. He pulled me out of that miry pit. He set my feet on a solid rock and he put a new song in my mouth. And that's why I'm here today, is because I want to share that new song that he's given to me. And also during that time, I came to realize that this life, when my wife was the most craziest, the most important thing, anything that happens to me, I can deal with. It's me. But when it came down to the most important person in my life, my wife, and her her being, I thought maybe she was going to die or maybe be gone away from me forever, even though she's still alive. I I called out to the Lord and I begged him for her life. And through the series, I won't share it all, I won't go through it all with you, but you remember at different times, I begged him for her life. And what he showed me, once he had my complete attention, what he showed me is, you know, I mean to tell you, as just as clear as I hear myself talking to you right now, I heard him speaking to me, you think this life is about you. But it's not. It's about me. I created you for my glory. I created you for my purpose. And I am going to use this brain surgery on your wife for my purpose. But it's not going to work unless you buy into it. It's not going to happen until you show the faith. She already has, as they were wheeling her away to 5.5 hours brain surgery, as she went around the corner, she was waving to me, I'll see you in a little while. I'm going, oh, Lord, please save my wife. She, you know, she gives her testimony. I wish you could hear sometime. Ask her back sometime to share her story. But in her testimony, she says, when we found out about my brain surgery, we both started weeping. And she said, Tom started weeping because, she said, I started weeping because I realized God was getting ready to use me. But Tom started weeping because he realized, he thought that he was going to lose me. And that was the truth. I was thinking in the now. This is my wife. This is the person who folds my socks, does my laundry, who helps me with all of my daily events and everything, who shares my love, and what am I going to do if she goes away? Renee realized that God was getting ready to use her, and he has. In the time since that, there have probably been over 100 people who have come to us and said, well, you know, here's my wife. Her neurosurgeon told her, he looked one time at her brain, her MRI of her brain, and he turned around and looked at her, and I was ready to sock him because he said, honey, you don't have a prayer. Those were his words. And you know what? Of course, she did have a prayer. And God healed her and gave us that miracle. So when people come to us and ask us, there have been over 100 people, I'm telling you, who have come to us and said, we heard about your miracle. And my brother, my son, my neighbor, my wife has a brain tumor. What can you tell us? And all we do is point them to the miracle worker, because he will give that miracle to her too. I mean, to them too. And he has done so many. We've had such a great opportunity to witness for the Lord. But it wouldn't have happened had we not been obedient to him. So, you know, listen to what he has to say. I listened to him, and he told me that this life is not about you. You think, we deserve children, perfect children, never get in trouble, get all A's, they get great jobs, and we should never have any problems, we should never have car accidents, and end up looking like a raccoon the next day in church. And again, Lord, thank you for sparing my dear friend Cindy. But we think, you know, that's how we are. I go to church. I pay my tithes, or I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I don't do anything wrong. Why? And I went through that. The first thing once I got alone with God after I found out about my wife's brain surgery, you know what the first thing I said was, how could you do this to me? And then I gave him my laundry list of good works. I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm in charge of this committee. I'm in charge of that committee. I'm in church every week. I try to tell people about Jesus. I write in my column every week regularly about you and get hammered by those that don't believe in blah, 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 blah. And the whole time he had his back turned to me going, I thought I had the right guy, but I guess I didn't. But he did have the right guy. It just took me a while to get to that point where I was ready to say, yes, Lord, no other gods but you, including her. God first, be the best. God first, be the best husband. God first, be the best wife. God first, be the best mother. God first, be the best neighbor. God first, be the best at your job. Put him first in your life. He comes first in your life. This life is about him. It's not about you. It wasn't about the children of Israel, but they sure thought it was. Another observation I just wanted to say real quickly, when you hear my people listen to my teaching, pay attention to what I have to say, sounds awful lot like me talking to my children. Now listen, kids. Well, and that's how it is, the correlation between God and us. You know, right on down to like a father to his children here. He speaks to us. Are you listening? Are you reading his word? Are you paying attention to what he has to say? Verse 2, I will open my mouth and tell stories. I will speak about things that were hidden. They happened a long time ago. We have heard about them and we know them. Our people who lived before us have told us about them. If you read Matthew 13:35, you read where the gospel writer repeats verse 2. I will open my mouth and tell stories. I will speak about things that were hidden. They happened a long time ago. He talks about parables, as Cindy read earlier in our Psalter. And of course, what Matthew is doing is he's outlining, he's saying, you know, Jesus is speaking the same way that was outlined for us all those years ago by God. Long before Jesus came, he's doing the same. Because, of course, Jesus spoke to his people then and us now through parables. And, of course, parables and proverbs basically, what they do is they compare one thing to another. And Psalm 78 compares the time then, what was their present to their past. And today we can do the same thing. We can compare our present day to that same past by remembering the great things God has done and the great indifference that God's people has shown. David warns in this psalm against making the same mistakes again. And I want to warn us today of the very same thing. We cannot continue to make the same mistakes. Verse 4, we won't hide them from our children. We will tell them to those who live after us. We will tell them about what the Lord has done that is worthy of praise. We will talk about his power and the wonderful things he has done. He gave laws to the people of Jacob. He gave Israel their law, and he commanded our people who lived before us to teach his laws to your children. Listen to my teaching. Pay attention to what I have to say. The question is, are you teaching his laws to your children? Are you teaching your children about the great things God has done? Do they make it to Sunday school? Do they go to vacation Bible school? Or do you say, well, I don't think they really want to go, so, you know, we'll just, I don't want them to be mad at me or whatever. Do we just pass on, send them because they don't, they can't get up earlier, they don't feel like going or whatever else. You know, one of the commentary writers that I read when I was preparing this sermon today for you said, many parents by negligence and wickedness become murderers of their own children. I thought, how could you write that? That's harsh. And yet, then I started thinking about people who don't bother to teach their children right and wrong. Go pick up today's paper and you'll read about them. They're murderers. They're thieves. They're robbers. They're taking advantage of your children and mine. They're sexual perverts. They're not listening to this because they haven't been taught. Because so many parents today aren't teaching them what they're supposed to. I noticed, I wrote a column about a month ago, I guess it was, after opening up the Toledo Blade and the second section and reading murder, 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 robbery, murder, robbery, murder, murder, sexual perversion, murder. And then the last one was 130-year-old church closing its doors because lack of attendance. You know, I could probably take all of you and put you in this first four or five rows here. Sad commentary. When Renee and I moved into the city of Luna Pier years ago, there were three churches in this little town of 1,500 people. When we moved out 12 years later, I think it was, there was one. Those other two churches, for lack of attendance, had dissipated, sold the church. The church was turned into a home for a family or whatever else. I'll never forget, one of them was right across the street from us, and I sat there one morning watching as the crane came, and the guy climbed up on the top of the church now, getting ready to be a house, and attached the cable to the cross and climbed down, and the crane operator jerked the cross off the top of the church and went over and unhooked it, and boom, they threw it over into the weeds. And I thought, what a sad commentary about America today. David warns us again, making the same mistakes again. I'm trying to think we're making the same mistakes today. I couldn't believe that happened. It tore my heart out to see that. But we don't teach our children, and that's why they're not finding soul. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for having Christian parents that believed that scripture and trusted in that promise to train up a child in the way that it should go. And then when it's old, you know, because the storms of life are going to come to our children. You know, they've come to you. They come to all of us. You know, Jesus didn't say, in this world you might have trouble. He said, in this world you what? You will have trouble. But don't worry about it, because I've overcome the world. Put your trust in me. In my prayer earlier, I said, Lord, help us to remember that. Nothing is going to happen to us that you and we together can't handle. And it's true. I believe that with all my heart. If you believe the scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know I can. And I know also it's a promise. He's going to meet all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And maybe the best one of all, I know that all things. I don't care if it's a flat tire. I don't care if it's one of my best friends having a bad accident or my wife having a brain surgery. All things work together for the good of those who, now here's the important part, A, love God, and B, are called according to his purpose. So, are you qualified? Do you qualify for that? Do you love God? Do you really love God? What does he say? If you love me, you'll what? What is it? Keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. My people, listen to my teaching. Pay attention to what I have to say. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And one of them is, teach your children. He commanded. He didn't suggest. Verse 5, he commanded our people who lived before us to teach his laws to their children. God also gave us his laws with a particular charge to teach it diligently to our children so the church could go on. Where are the young people today? Where are the young people in this church? He did this so the church would abide forever. He knew that you have to replenish. You know, if you want another fresh garden, you got to sow a fresh crop. You got to have children. We got to teach it to our children. I believe that the biggest problem in America, in the Christian America, is that churches are turning into social clubs. And one of the problems is that people are saying, wait a minute, I tithe, that's my parking place, that's my seat, this is where I want the music better make me happy. I don't want to hear none of that contemporary crap that our kids like. And guess what? They don't come. They're not here. They don't want to hear. They call yours the same thing. You know, I love the hymns. I love just as I am in the old rugged cross. But I'm telling you right now, the gospel never changes, but how you package it does. And if you want to reach those children, if you want to replenish this church, and I'm not talking just to your church, folks. I'm talking to my church and every other church, because like I said, they're going away. We're kicking God out of America. There's no room for him anymore. And all of his laws that we've learned, I don't think he really meant that. Or, you know, we got to be politically correct here, so we got to just make sure we treat everybody right. Well, I'll tell you what. One of these, the scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And when that day comes for Tom Treece, I got one thing. You know what? The rest of my life is only one thing I'm concerned about. As the old black preacher I heard one time say, when I stand in front of the Lord, only thing I care about is that my good outweighs my bad. And I've had a lot of bad. Thank God for amazing grace. Thank God. Why did Jesus have to come? Because we need that forgiveness every day, every morning. I'm in front of him. Lord, forgive me. Oh, golly, I gave that guy the look who cut me off in traffic. At least I didn't swear at him like I used to. Or whatever I had done the day before. Churches in America are treating it like social clubs. Edify me. Please me. They're not a command bunker for an outreach to go out on the highways and byways and compel them to come in and hear the gospel message. We're only concerned about me. Take care of me, everything's fine. What did Jesus say when he left in Acts? Before he ascended, the last thing he said to you, what was it? To them, which was to us. You will be my... Anybody? Witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, which I promise you includes Point Place, Ohio. Verse 6, those born later would know his laws, even their children yet to come would know them. And they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. They would not forget what he had done. They would obey his commands. But moving on to verse 10, they didn't keep the covenant God had made with them. They refused to live by his law. They forgot what he had done. They didn't remember the wonders he had shown them. He did miracles right in front of our people who lived long ago. You know, I think about how many people I've heard say, well, if I saw him walk on water, or if I saw him, you know, perform one of his many miracles, then maybe I'd believe. They'd figure some other way to get around that. At the same time, they were living in the land of Egypt in the area of Zoan. And you know the story. God parted the Red Sea, led them through it. He made the water stand up. He guided them with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire during the night. And he broke the rocks open in the desert, and he gave them as much water as there is in the oceans. He brought streams out of a rocky cliff. I loved it when you read that and you emphasized that, Cindy, because, you know, only God can do that. And that's nothing for him. He made water flow like rivers out of a rock. And see, God didn't strike it. Who did? Moses. He used Moses. Moses, willing. God bless her, Renee. I knew he was getting ready to use me. And so I went into that brain surgery not knowing what was going to happen to me, but trusting God no matter what. Job, though he slay me, still will I trust him. Because he stood on the promises. Because he loved God, and he was called according to his purpose. What's he done for you? What has God done? I'd love to just stop right here and pass the microphone and say, tell me what he's done for you. Because he's done something for you. Has he done something for you? He's done something for you. Has he done something for you? Of course he has. You wouldn't be here if he hadn't. You trust him. You know him. What has he done for you? Or have you forgotten? Not me. He brought me out of that Vietnam jungle, and even though I jumped right back into the jungle here in America, at least I had a weapon over there. I got involved in drugs and alcohol, and I was a rock and roll star, and boy, that was everything for me. And I kept meeting, hanging out with Elton John and the Rolling Stones and Gordon Lightfoot and all these big stars, and I'm thinking, yeah, baby, I finally made it. And I'd go home at night and thinking, there's got to be something more than this. Kevin, if you ever heard Kevin play out, he's just one of the most brilliant musicians. God has granted him so much. But I hope, I got to believe that sitting in right here at this piano fulfills you so much more. I mean, that's fun. That's fun out there. It's fun. I love to go play and sing all night long. But when I'm praising the Lord, when I'm giving it up to him, when I'm bringing my offering, when I'm bringing my fishes and barley loaves in here like I have today, and I laid it on the altar as I grabbed Cindy and brought her over here and hugged onto her, and we prayed and we said, Lord, here we are, your empty vessels. Fill us up full of your Holy Spirit and pour us out today for your glory to all of you. And I trust he's done that today already. And I hope he will do more before we're done here. Verse 17, but they continued to sin against him. In the desert, they refused to obey the Most High God. But still, he loved them, even when they continued to sin against him, and even when they tested him. When you were reading the Psalter earlier, verse 18, they ordered him to give them food. Oh, golly. I just want to smack some of those Israelites. After so over and over and over, and I'm going to sing a song because I got a youngest son that I've been wanting to smack for 10 years because I love him with all my heart. And he has made a public acknowledgement that he believes that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God. And yet, he still... he doesn't believe him. He still follows the old way. He struck the rock and streams of water poured out. He rained down manna from people to eat. He gave them grain from heaven, the bread of angels. They had more than enough. And then in verse 32, the psalmist records that, but even after that, they kept on sinning. And that's what we do today. We keep on sinning. But here's the thing. Verse 33. He brought their days to an end like a puff of smoke. He ended their years with terror. Get ready, America. As you continue to sin and refuse to obey, and we continue to kick him out and break all his commands, I'm telling you right now, years of terror, just like then, is coming to America. It's just a matter of time before bomb-laden people who love death are going to walk in the middle of the Mud Hens game or somewhere and ignite their bombs and kill tons of people. You're not going to just see it on the TV of what's happening over there. It's going to be on a street corner here in America if we do not change our ways. Because this psalm, like I said, it talks about, again, it's a parable. Jesus talked about the parables, and Matthew described, said, this is just like God gave him back in the old days when he was reading the scriptures. And it's basically comparing one thing to another. It's what was happening then because of what happened before. You know all those stories in the Bible about how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, I'm telling you, it's going to come again. Verse 34, every time God killed some of them, the others would look to him. They gladly turned back to him. They remember that God was their rock. They remember that God was the Most High and he set them free. but they didn't mean it when they praised him. They lied to him when they spoke. Verse 37, their hearts were not true to him. I think about 9/11 and how after that attack on our country, the street I lived on, there was a fellow Vietnam veteran who lived across the street from me, Bob Sabina. And he had his flag flying all the day, just like me. On up and down the street, nothing but two flags right across the street from each other. 9/11 happened, all of a sudden, bam, there was a flag over here. And then another flag. And then one down here. And then one down there. And the next thing you know, American flags were, that street was littered with American flags, waving in the breeze. The churches filled up. People going to church. Oh my gosh, our country was attacked. Let's go to church all of a sudden. Bumper stickers. Remember the bumper stickers? Pray for peace. Remember them on the bumpers of cars and in the back windows? And then that flag went away. And then that flag went away. And then that flag went away. And that flag went away. And the churches started emptying back up again. And pretty soon, my street was right back to two flags on our street. Churches emptied right out again. And many of them just went right away and changed over to homes for people. Because they didn't mean it. They lied to him when they spoke. Their hearts were not true to him. But God, two of my favorite verses in the Bible, two of my favorite words in the Bible. I want a t-shirt. But God, dot, dot, dot. And then fill in the blank. In his infinite grace and mercy. Why he loves us so. And continues to forgive us despite what they did. Those old Israelites, they were so bad. Yeah. Just like us. Just like America today. Go home, read the paper. Don't take my word for it. Go home, read the paper. God continues to be full of love and forgiveness no matter what you've done. He promises to be faithful and to forgive you if you are faithful, if you are willing to confess your sins, repent and turn away from the way you're going, he is faithful. But those who disobey and ignore his teaching and continue to sin must expect to stay in trouble. The reason we live with so little comfort and purpose is because we don't live by faith. God's people professed repentance, but they weren't sincere. They weren't constant. And only two people really know whether or not you really love him and are sincere in your worship. One's you, and the other is him. I don't know. You can fool me. I got a lot of people to fool me. Easy to fool me, but you can't fool God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you sow, so shall you reap. Verse 4, we won't hide them from our children. We will tell them to those who live after us. We will tell them about what the Lord has done that is worthy of praise. I'm hurrying. He gave laws to the people of Jacob. I love my wife. She's going. He gave Israel their law. He commanded our people who lived before us to teach his laws to our children. Every time that we turn away from God, he's always faithful to forgive us. Israel's history gives us a picture of our own hearts and lives. But in the psalm, we repeatedly see how God provides and then how his children repeatedly disobeys and they turn away from him, but then how he's always faithful to forgive when they come back to him. So talking with my dear friend Cindy about this sermon today, she said, she gave a few ideas, and the last thing she said really struck me. She said, what can we do to avoid the same destruction after so many chances? And it's real simple. Where's that first verse again? My people, listen to my... Pay attention. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to my teaching. we can read and stay focused on His Word and accordingly remember the great things God has done and teach them to our children. I want to close with a song here for you. The logo scripture of mine and Renee's ministry, which is called Guided Ministries, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. As I shared with you, let me have that here. Just scoot that over here. I'll take it. Our youngest son, loved him to death, and he acknowledges Christ, but he's not living for Him. He's got two children. He's got two sons that he only has a few more years to be with them. How do I turn this thing on the side? Oh, there it is. He's only got a few more years with them in order to be able to train them up in the way that they should go. Because once they're gone, they're going to be gone. And it's going to be hard. You know, it's remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, the scripture says. So, he came to see me, and I was in a hospital for my condition here. I have a chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyradicular neuropathy. It took me 2 months to learn how to say whatever is causing me basically not to be able to walk. I have no balance. I have no balance. It's the craziest thing. At home, I don't use the wheelchair. I just bounce off the walls. It's true. And I have some crutches that I, for short distances, but he came to see me and, how you doing? How you doing, bud? And it's like, you know, my life is crumbling. Everything's falling apart. I'm telling you, my boss is a jerk. My boss is a jerk. The kids, they're just going crazy. They don't mind me. Every time I find a woman, she just wants to take me and use me, or all my friends are treating me like what? Yeah, over and a weeping and moaning and crying. And so I was thinking about him. I was praying for him when I was in the hospital last year. I was 2 months in the hospital. And boy, all of a sudden, the Lord gave me this song, and I grabbed a pencil and paper and my guitar and wrote it down. It's the title of my new CD, which I have copies of, by the way, after in our meet and greet, if you're interested. I'd like to pick one up. I'm so proud of it. I've worked so hard for 7 years on it, and I share it with you not because of money. I want to tell you right now, if you can't afford one, take one, because I just believe it's messages that God has given me to share with people who need to hear some of those messages, one of which is this song. It's called His Name is Jesus. That's about our son. Because he didn't believe. He's one of those who, you know, we're working on him. He's coming around. He's like me. I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. And he is the same way. And so we keep praying for him. Pray for my son. His name is Nathan. Please remember him. This song is called His Name is Jesus. Let me get a quick drink of water. This medicine I got to take for this CIDP drives me crazy. Dry mouth. Here we go. My brother, why are you struggling so? You got everything you need to be happy, but you still don't know where to go. You say your life is crumbling, but you just keep doing the same. When the happiness that you need is right there in the name. You say the boss is always against you, and no one understands. The kids don't mind like you think they should, and you can't seem to make any plans. All the women just want to use you, and all your friends are doing the same. But the truth in life that you need is right there in the name. forgotten name is Jesus. The King is calling you. His name is Jesus. He's the best friend you never knew. All the world keeps trying to put him down, but that's something no one can do. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You're afraid your friends are gonna laugh at you. You've spent your life being cool. You were wild and crazy at every turn. You were proud to break all the rules. But there at the edge, God pulled you back. But you just won't make that claim. And so you miss the joy for the ones that believe in his name. His name is Jesus. The King is calling you. His name is Jesus. He's the best friend you never knew. All the world keeps trying to put him down, but that's something that no one can do. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You need to know that the day will come when there's no place left for you to hide. And then you'll finally realize he's the one, and you'll serve him the rest of your life. And then you'll find yourself just wishing you had figured this out long ago. Take it from me, my son, because I know. His name is Jesus. The King is calling you. His name is Jesus. He's the best friend you never knew. All the world keeps trying to put him down, but that's something no one can do. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.